pretenders show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Can you hear my plea, ladies and gentlemen? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Well, hold on a second. I almost sound like a professional broadcaster then for a minute. Sorry. That's better. Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a ridiculously fabulous show for you lined up. And as if that's different from usual... Yeah, it actually is, because generally the show's kind of, in my opinion, reasonably good, but today it's going to be absolutely fabulous. And I can't give myself credit for that. I'm actually going to give that credit directly to my upcoming guests. I'm going to have Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Network, PhD, one of the, the world's leading authority on fluoride. Those of you who don't understand what fluoride is, don't worry, you're going to find out. And you won't be happy. I can tell you that much. And if you are happy, then you're probably one of the many intelligence agents listening who's quite happy to be a slave and watch everybody else have their sovereignty revoked. But, you know, it could be worse. And my second hour guest is Devi Kidd from Devi.com, DEVVY.com, about constitutions. Now, I don't know about most of the world's countries, but New Zealand doesn't have a technically enacted constitution. We're supposed to have one, and it was written up way back in the day, but it has since been long forgotten, along with all of our rights and all of our sovereignty. And once the Trans-Pacific Partnership is signed, our independence will go as well as our industry gets destroyed by international corporations that will essentially be given godlike status in this country. And if you do not believe me, If you have lived under NAFTA or GATT or any of these other free trade agreements that just outsourced all your jobs, destroyed your industry, you know, wake up. If you go to guerrillamedia.co.nz, the top story today, the TPP will destroy New Zealand industry. This is a speech by Murray Horton of CAFCA, the Campaign Against Foreign Control of Aotearoa. You know, it's not their Aotearoa, it's Aotearoa, Al. Not even Aotearoa. All right, maybe that's a bit racist. Never mind. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and we're going to have a heck of a lot of fun today. I can just feel it. Back in a moment. Jamming too. Because there's no reason to be upset. It's just the end of the world. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the most fabulous network in the United States known to man. And ladies and gentlemen, Speaking of the most fabulous thing known to man, I have an incredibly marvelous special guest who I'm a great admirer of, and which is pretty amazing because I've only just been aware of his existence for a very short time. His name is Dr. Paul Connett, PhD, and he has a rap sheet in terms of qualifications and justification for what he does and who he is, as long as my incredibly long legs. And he's just so fabulous that I just had to get him on today. Dr. Paul Connett, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Thank you, Vinnie, and thank you for your flattering comments.
Oh, you're welcome. I have many other nice adjectives, but we don't have time. What I'd prefer to do instead is get you to sort of explain yourself and the Fluoride Action Network that you kind of front, just in your own words. Fire away.
Well, you know, 15 years ago, Vinny, I didn't want the issue of fluoridation. I was heavily engaged 15 years ago in both teaching chemistry at a university level at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. And in my spare time, I mean every weekend, every term break, every holiday, I was traveling around the world working on waste management, giving presentations to communities on the dangers of incineration and promoting the zero-waste alternative. Now, that has taken me, as of now, to 49 different states in the United States, 7 provinces in Canada, and 54 other countries. So several people tried to get me involved in the fluoridation issue, and A, I didn't have time, but B, I didn't want to be stigmatized as being, you know, a flat earth society wacko, which is how people opposed to fluoridation have been characterized unfairly for many years. And 3 people actually approached me, one from Ontario, one from Spokane, Washington, and another one from East Liverpool, Ohio. Would I get involved? And I said, no, I just don't have time. And then a 4th person asked me, somebody I can never say no to, and that was my wife. And one afternoon, she put a bunch of papers down on my desk and put a cup of tea there at the same time. She says, dear, would you read these papers? I said, what is it about? She says, fluoridation. I said, take that away. These people are crazy. And she says, you've got to read it. You've got to read it. The village council is deciding tonight whether they're going to continue fluoridation or whether they're going to stop. And I need to know what I should be saying. Should I be saying yes or should I be saying no? Please read it and tell me what you think. Well, I was, when I started to read this stuff, these papers, my intention was as quickly as possible to persuade my wife that the people that were opposed to fluoridation were loony tunes and that we didn't have to worry. But as I read, it became very clear to me that they weren't. That was a very serious problem. And the first thing that's striking is that whilst fluoride is very unreactive from a chemical perspective, it's like comparing sodium chloride, which is common salt, with the parent element chlorine or sodium, which are extremely reactive. So when elements react, their properties change dramatically. So I thought these poor anti-fluoridation people confused fluorine, the element, with fluoride, the compound. And in fact, they hadn't, because it turns out that fluoride, from a biological perspective, is extremely active. It interferes with enzymes, it interferes with G proteins, it interferes with goodness knows what else in the body. It's not a substance that you want to get anywhere near your own body, and particularly not your children's bodies, and particularly not your baby's bodies, which will become, I think, clear later on in this conversation. And then the thing, a single fact which really shook me, was the level of fluoride in mother's milk. Now, mother's milk, as you know, is the baby's first meal. It's evolved, I mean, it's been developed over millions of years to be the best combination of nutrients to support the development and growth of the newborn baby. Clearly, if the mother is deficient in elements or minerals or vitamins, then the milk cannot make up for that. So it can only take what the mother gives it. If the mother doesn't have essential things in its diet, then it won't be there. But otherwise, nature did a pretty good job. Well, when you look at the level of fluoride in mother's milk, it is extremely low. It's as low as 0.004 parts per million. And we fluoridate the water on average at one part per million. And that means that a bottle-fed baby is getting 250 times more fluoride than a breastfed baby in a fluoridated area. And
well, so therefore you'd have to act under the assumption nature knows best. So therefore, get the fluoride out of my water.
Absolutely. And at the very least, now that we have a situation where 30% of the children in New Zealand have a condition called dental fluorosis, and in the United States, where we have 41% of children aged 12 to 15 now have this condition called dental fluorosis, which is a mottling of the enamel, discoloration of the enamel, which is an indicator that children have been overexposed to fluoride. And the worst year of exposure is in the first year of life. Clearly, what we should be doing is to warn parents in fluoridated communities not to use fluoridated tap water to make up baby formula. Now, that makes sense for the one thing that they won't deny, the promoters will not deny, that dental fluorosis is caused by fluoride. They will also probably not deny that that means that the child has been overexposed to fluoride before their permanent teeth have erupted. And the problem here, incidentally, is that parents don't see this until the permanent teeth come out. And then it's too late. It was 8 or 9 years of age, and now they suddenly find that their kid's teeth are disfigured for life unless they pay about $1,000 a tooth to cover up this stuff. So parents should be warned, but they're not. The American Dental Association has warned its members, its doctors, its dentists, and the CDC had a mealy-mouthed statement on its website, but how many parents, especially low-income families, are trolling the internet to look for statements by the CDC or the ADA?
Probably none. It's kind of like the whole hiding in plain sight sort of phenomenon.
That's right, exactly. So they cover themselves from a legal perspective. You know, oh, we warned people. Oh, yeah, you warned dentists.
You know what that reminds me of is it reminds me of that scene in the movie, what's it called, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where he says, you know, you can't demolish my house. And he's like, well, you were given notice. And he's like, yeah, well, the notice was downstairs behind a whole dusty file cabinet, and I couldn't even find it.
Exactly. So this is shocking. So even from their perspective, they could reduce dental fluorosis by getting this warning to parents, putting this warning on water bills. And when we tried to get that instituted by legislation in New Hampshire, where one of our campaign manager lives in New Hampshire, and he tried to get this legislation into New Hampshire, which would require the water departments to put this warning on the water bill. It seemed very sensible. It was the same warning that the ADA had given to its members. And believe it's incredible, but the ADA and its dental friends in New Hampshire jumped all over this bill and came up with a preposterous notion. Listen to this, that this was an unfunded mandate requiring requiring the water departments to put two sentences on the bottom of a bill was an unfunded mandate. You know, talk about taking things to the utter absurd extreme, that your water departments is unduly burdened by having to add two sentences to a water bill to get this message to parents. I mean, it's just...
It doesn't make sense because they'll give you 8 sentences saying that your thousands of pages of documented scientifically peer-reviewed articles don't work, but they won't put 2 sentences in.
Anyway, Vinny, what makes this much more serious than just dental fluorosis? That's bad enough, you know, but worse than that, we now have 24 studies, most of them from China, which indicate a lowering of IQ in children associated with exposure to modest, and I do mean modest, amounts of fluoride. The two studies that I've cited frequently, one is by Zhang in 2003, and he updated his study in 2010. But basically, he found that the threshold for lowering of IQ was at 1.9 parts per million in the water. Now, if you're fluoridating at between 0.7 and 1.2 parts per million in the United States and other countries, then 1.9 parts per million does not offer an adequate margin of safety to protect everyone, because that study was of about 500 children. And when you're extrapolating from known harm found in a study, you've got to apply a safety factor of 10, a safety factor of 10, to get to a safe level for everybody in a large population. Well, if you divide 1.9 by 10, it's 0.19 parts per million, if we assume that the kids are drinking the same amount of water. And that's less than that's remarkably low. And in fact, a kid would exceed any reasonably determined margin, safe level by just drinking one glass of water. So that's how serious it is. And since that study came out, there was another study that came out a few weeks ago by Ding and others, published in the Journal of Hazardous Materials, and they found a lowering of IQ between 0.3 and 3 parts per million in the water. And that's very low level. And then
What's the extent of the IQ reduction?
Well, it's not huge, but of course, when you shift the population by any amount, then you're going to decrease the number of geniuses in your society and going to increase the number of mentally handicapped. That's why you never want to shift in the whole population, which is what Zhang found in his study. There was a complete shift in the IQ curve. So you had fewer people that were very bright, many more people that were dull, if you like, or mentally handicapped.
Well, now, it seems that this is kind of a self-evident phenomenon in our society, because you do find a lot of these what I would call semi-retarded people who basically they go along with anything they're told, unquestioning. They I don't know. It's almost as if they've lost their soul.
Yeah. Well, you know? I think that may have more to do with American television than it has to do with fluoride. But yeah, fluoride.
You might be right.
Fluoride might be contributing to this. And the trouble is, and this is what makes the whole thing so sickening, is that there's been no attempt in the fluoridating countries. There's only 8 that have more than 50% of their population drinking fluoridated water. So if you live in a fluoridated country and you're listening to this, you're one of the odd men out, the odd country out, because most countries do not fluoridate their water. China doesn't, Japan doesn't, India doesn't, 98% of Western Europe doesn't. So you're in an odd man out, the odd country out. But the sickening thing is, Vinny, they're not looking. They're not attempting. As these studies are finding harm in the countries which have high natural levels, like India and China, parts of Africa and Mexico, whilst these studies are coming out showing harm of fluoride, all they do in the fluoridating countries is to try to trash the methodology of each study. What they're not doing is to demonstrate the superior knowledge of epidemiology and do their own studies in fluoridated countries. Look at the health studies, primary health studies in their own countries. And if I gave you a list of the studies that have not been done in fluoridated countries, when they clearly, based upon what we're seeing in animal literature and in the literature from these countries with high natural levels, it's quite staggering. For example, there's only one small study in any fluoridated country which has looked at IQ, and that was a small study in New Zealand in the 80s. Other than that, no IQ studies in any fluoridating country. Secondly, no attempt to look to see if there's a relationship between hypothyroidism and people living in fluoridated communities drinking fluoridated water, even though we know that doctors used to give sodium fluoride tablets to people to lower their thyroid activity. There's been no attempt. Yep.
This seems like the commonplace doctor's excuse. I've seen no evidence that fluoride does any danger. And of course, the reason why this is because they haven't looked.
Yeah, well, that's good. If you don't look, you don't find. The absence of study does not mean the absence of harm. And here is a little bit of Monty Python for you, because I know you like Monty Python, Vinny, and I do too. I was at college with John Cleese, played soccer with John Cleese. So I got a little bit of this craziness on me. But I was listening in an audience in Dryden, Ontario, on April the 1st, 2008, where the Chief Dental Officer of Canada, Dr. Peter Cooney, told an audience, he said, "I've walked down your high street today, and I didn't see anybody growing horns, and you've been fluoridated for 40 years. So here's Monty Python. Okay, John, I think what we'll do here, I think we'll set up a department of horns. We'll get in all the world's best specialists on horns. We'll have a specialist on bull horn, cow horn, goat horn, deer horn. Oh, don't forget the moose horn, John. Oh, no. Don't forget the moose horn. So we'll have these people, and we'll send them around Canada, and we'll have them looking to see if they're growing any horns. And so far, so good, John. There have been no reports of anybody growing horns, any kind of horn, in Canada. So I think we can conclude, don't you, that it's perfectly safe to put hazardous waste into our drinking water.
And nobody expects the horny Inquisition.
Nobody expected that. This here practice is dead. No, it's not dead. It's just pining. Yeah.
I think she's dead. No, I'm not. Yeah. Isn't the population being treated like Mary Queen of Scots these days, you know?
Yeah, well, I tell you, this is a common, I've heard this said by many people. Basically, a lot of doctors, dentists, journalists, editors, and the general public and decision makers are being treated like mushrooms. You know that one?
No.
You keep them in the dark and feed them bull manure.
Yeah.
That's right. You keep them in the dark and you feed them bull manure. And that's what we've been getting from the CDC, the ADA, and the other promoters of fluoridation in the United States, and all these health agencies in the different...
Yeah. Well, we'll get into more of this just after the break. My remarkably fabulous special guest is Dr. Paul Connett, broadcasting live from his fabulous fluoride tour in New Zealand. I'm your host, Vinny Eastwood, broadcasting live from the fabulous fluoride fortress head capital, Auckland, New Zealand, the largest fluoridated population in New Zealand. And we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. My remarkably special guest is Dr. Paul Connett, PhD, and I've got two questions for you, but I'll let you answer them one at a time. First one is a question that you've asked me to ask you, in the Dr. Phil sense of the word. What happened when you tried to arrange a talk at the Otago Medical and Dental School? I'm actually curious now.
Well, Dr. Bruce Spittle, who actually taught at one time at the medical school, is a psychiatrist, a psychiatric degree. Dr. Bruce Spittle, who is the managing editor of the journal Fluoride, tried to get either the medical school or the dental school or both to have me in to give a lecture. After all, I've spent 15 years researching the issue. I'm a former professor, specializing in environmental chemistry and toxicology, and with two colleagues, I've just published a book, The Case Against Fluoride, with a biologist and a physicist with an MD, and myself. So a chemist, physicist, and biologist wrote this book, 80 pages of references. I mean, you can't fault it, I don't think, from a scientific level. And yet, neither the dean of the medical school or the dean of the dental school would entertain my giving a talk, and the same response was from several different departments that Bruce tried. I mean, he tried for weeks to get this lecture. And then even when the dental students themselves asked to put on a lecture, before they had gone very far with this invitation, they were called in by the dean. the dean of the dental school called them in. And seeing the writing on the wall, they then decided that they would not hold a meeting. Now, when you consider that this is the only, I believe it's the only dental school in New Zealand, depriving those dental professors and the dental students of the other side of the story, even if they didn't agree with the other side of the story, even if they could demolish the other side of the story, to not let it happen is very disturbing about the state of education in New Zealand, or at least the state of this education in this university.
And well, I've said long and hard that when you translate the word educations, it literally translates as indoctrination.
Well, in this case, it looks like it. The motto of the university, however, is Sapere Aude, which means dare to be wise. and we did a little videotape outside the door of the medical school with this little motto. And prompted by Bruce Biddle, the Pope quote is where ignorance is bliss. All right, where ignorance is bliss, it is foolish to be wise. And we are recommending that's the motto now for the new University of Otago.
Yeah, sounds about right. And I'm fairly sure with the dumbed down, servile TV watching masses that wind up going to university to further themselves would certainly agree with that. As they chug down copious amounts of extremely cheap beer and $2 doubles on Wednesdays, as I experience quite happily in Dunedin.
Well, you know, me too. I'm afraid I did consume rather a lot of beer at Cambridge, where I was an undergraduate with my colleagues. But anyway, we did do some serious stuff as well. But, you know, the best definition of education I ever heard is a definition of an educated person from my Latin teacher, who said an educated person is someone who can entertain his or herself, entertain a friend, and entertain a new idea. Now, that ability to entertain a new idea, the idea of keeping your minds open, is absolutely the critical quality about an educated person. And it means that they don't have to go to university to describe themselves as an educated person. It's the person that remains curious. It's the person who questions the data, questions authority, follows the evidence wherever it will take. These are the qualities of an educated person. And the opposite to that is to freeze knowledge and say, we know everything there is to know about this subject. There's nothing more to learn. This is the theory, and it's beautiful, and we're going to hang on to it forever, ignoring the fact that in science, an ugly fact can always destroy a beautiful theory. An ugly fact can always destroy a beautiful theory. And as far as the fluoridation practice is concerned, I don't know if it was ever a beautiful theory, but there are so many ugly facts now to destroy this theory. But if people are not willing to read a book or watch the videos that we have on our homepage, fluoridealert.org, you know, on the fluoridealert.org website, which my son constructed before he went to law school, you'll find on the left-hand side a huge health database, which makes all the literature on each tissue, fluoride in the brain, fluoride in the kidney, fluoride in the thyroid system, and so on, with all the references, excerpts, links to full papers. So it's a tremendous research tool. Also a bibliography of thousands of pages. Also, the online version of the National Research Council report of 2006, 507 pages, 1,100 references going into fluoride's toxicity, which has been largely ignored in the fluoridated countries. It's scandalous, but that's the fact. But if you want to read that, it's there. But the simplest thing, and I really encourage people to do this, if you look at the top of our homepage, there's several striking things. One is, a couple of days ago, Andrew Young, who's the former colleague of Martin Luther King Jr., who was on the the marches, civil rights marches, and so on. In fact, when I think when Martin Luther King was shot, and you see those black and white photographs of the time, there's somebody pointing to a window. I believe that was Andrew Young. Anyway, he went on to become the mayor of Atlanta and also the ambassador to the United Nations. So he's a very distinguished Afro-American leader in the United States. And he and other African-American leaders from Atlanta, Georgia, have just put out a statement calling for an end to mandatory fluoridation in Georgia. And what makes this particularly interesting is Andrew Young's father was a dentist. And he said that for years and years and years, he was very much positive about fluoridation because he thought it was equitable. But now he sees that minorities are being abused by this practice, that more black children and Hispanic children have dental fluorosis than white children in the same communities, and more black Americans have lactose intolerance, more have diabetes, more have kidney problems, all of which makes them more vulnerable to fluoride's toxic effects. But they're not being warned about this, certainly not being warned about not bottle feeding their babies with fluoridated tap water. There's no notion of anybody giving any financial assistance to families of low income to get bottled water for that purpose. Anyway, Andrew Young, a couple of days ago, came out and said, look, this practice has to stop. Mandatory fluoridation in Georgia has to stop. And that's incredibly important because Atlanta, Georgia is the home of the Center of Disease Control, which is the agency in the United States most identified with promoting fluoridation, or rather, I should say, the oral health division, which is just 30 people, most of them dentally trained, not medically trained, dentally trained. None of them are toxicologists. And yet, you know, they are quoted almost every day as saying that fluoridation is one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 20th century. And people are citing that as if they were citing the Bible, unwittingly, not realizing that the statement actually comes from an article written by two people, one who was an economist and the other was a dentist who had not done any research on fluoridation before that paper was written. And the paper is very, very poor, in my view. It was 6 years out of date on the health, the safety issues, and its evidence for benefit was extremely weak and disturbing because it made it clear that they weren't aware of world health statistics on tooth decay in other countries. So the tooth decay is coming down as fast in non-fluoridated countries as in fluoridated countries, and yet they try to maintain in this paper that is being indirectly cited nearly every day somewhere in the world that fluoridation, that tooth decay in 12-year-olds was coming down in the United States because the percentage of the population drinking fluoridated water was going up. As you've got two lines on a graph, one coming down, the other going up. But they could have put the sale of telephone books or bicycles could have also been going up over the same period. But what is shocking is if they had checked with the World Health Organization data, they would have found that tooth decay was coming down in the non-fluoridated countries as fast as it was coming down in the United States. And if you look at the tooth decay today, there's no difference. There's no difference for a 12-year-old whether they've grown up in a fluoridated or non-fluoridated country.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember I was asking the Minister of Health, Tony Ryle, that fluoride is one of the binding agents in a drug known as Prozac, an antidepressant, and it's also the active ingredient in a poison that we aerially drop on our native lands here called Compound 1080. And go ahead.
Let me jump in before you go any further. I'm as horrified as you at the use of 1080. But let me tell you, that's got nothing to do with fluoride, that toxicity. 1080 is fluoroacetic acid. And the way that kills mammals is that when the fluoride, fluoroacetic acid is digested by the animal, it's converted to fluorocitric acid. And that is a suicidal poison of an enzyme involved in energy production. So as the moment this enzyme is poisoned, the animal can't produce any energy, and it's killed rather rather quickly and rather painfully, incidentally.
Yeah, they can't produce vitamin K, and they basically bleed out in their own fluids.
That's right.
It's really horrific.
Nothing to do with fluoride. And that's a common mistake that citizens make, and it's understandable. They see that fluoride is in the formula, or fluorine is in the formula. But what they don't understand is that the carbon-fluorine bond is very stable. And 99 times out of the 100, that fluorine atom remains intact on the pharmaceutical or the poison or whatever it is throughout its cycle in the body. And when it's excreted through the urine, when it's metabolized, you will find the fluorine still on the molecule. So it's not that the fluoride is acting like a free fluoride ion. There's plenty of evidence to condemn free fluoride ion, but not these organofluorines in the main. I did say 99 times out of 100. When you do get a pharmaceutical which has fluorine in it and which it is metabolized, then it's very serious indeed. One of the things used to treat anthrax is Cipro. You know, these Cipro tablets were given out. And that apparently does metabolize to free fluoride ion. And so the worst thing that can happen is that you have a drug that's designed to treat the brain or get across the blood-brain barrier. And if that's one of these drugs, the 1 in 100, that metabolizes to free fluoride ion, then you have a serious problem on your hands. But in the main, all these fluoridated pharmaceuticals are probably not adding to our body burden of fluoride ions each day.
Yeah, I mean, it's the pharmaceutical drugs by themselves are just bad enough, regardless of whether or not they were using fluoride in them.
Absolutely.
Now, shifting gears here a little bit, the history behind fluoride and its introduction, my understanding, and I want to make a few points here, and of course we can elaborate more on this after the coming break. First recorded incidents of fluoridation, I'm not sure when that was. I believe I saw Joseph Goebbels, the father of Nazi propaganda, saying, I'm paraphrasing here, that fluoride was essential for controlling the public. And also Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew, the father of modern propaganda, he was in fact hired by a company to convince the American public of fluoridation's benefit.
I think the second part is correct. I think Bernays was definitely involved in promoting fluoridation. That's documented in Chris Bryson's book. But Goebbels saying that, I don't think that is correct, Vinny. You better check your source there. There's only one source that's out there that claims that Hitler used fluoride, and it doesn't stand up to scrutiny.
And I've also heard that the KGB used it in their gulags as well, and they were able to reduce their guards by about 75%. But we'll get into more of this after the break. Talk to Paul Connett as my guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's got documented facts, even if I don't. We'll be right back.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a-changing.
Yes, they are. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Show that's all about times changing and talking about the things that mainstream media will not let on the air. And principally, it's to try and save human life. You know, that's my main concern with doing what I'm doing, which means if I'm proven wrong, as Paul Connett has just debunked what has been a common belief on the internet for quite some time, that the Nazis used fluoride in their concentration camps, and indeed the Russians used it in their gulags. And I'm actually quite relieved to hear that that's not entirely documented.
No, the documentation would not stand up to a historian. A historian usually needs at least two sources to verify something like that. And I know my wife took this seriously, and she checked with the Wiesenthal Foundation. These are the Nazi, the people that hunted down Nazi criminals after World War II. And they couldn't find any documentation. And I've yet to see any memo from within, you know, that's come to light from the Germans themselves talking about this. And I think they would have been very proud of it. They weren't shy about talking about their medical experiments on human beings. That's a lot of it's documented, nauseating stuff that they documented, that they did do to human beings. And so even if they didn't want to share this knowledge with the world, I think they would have shared it with each other. But nothing material.
Who was the source of this rumor in the first place then?
Well, it's supposed to be there's possibly two people. There's a fellow, Goff, I think his name was, or I think that was his name, he was a member of the American Communist Party. And then when he left, he talked about this. That's one story. I was rather vague on that front. And there was another fellow who's supposed to be a chemist, and he was supposed to be when they were going in after the war, he had interviewed somebody from the German chemist or something, and he told him. And that's that story, which has gone around and around and around. But as I said, nothing further has come out to document that. Another reason I'm reluctant to have people spread this around, because we have them on the ropes, Vinny, as far as the science is concerned. They cannot demonstrate it works. They cannot demonstrate today that water fluoridation is achieving anything but a very, very small reduction in tooth decay, if any. The small benefits that they purport to demonstrate would be immediately eliminated if there's any delayed eruption of the teeth by fluoride, which is, there's some evidence for that. So the latest studies, the best studies, do not indicate much of a benefit from swallowing fluoride. And also they themselves admit that the predominant benefit is topical. And once you admit that it's topical, then it doesn't make sense to swallow it. It makes much more sense to brush it on your teeth and spit it out. This way you solve the ethical problem of not forcing it on people that don't want it. And you solve the health problems because you're not exposing every tissue in the body to this toxic substance.
Now, so Paul, I know that you don't like to go into conspiracy and things of that nature. So what effect does this have? I mean, if it's in there, it can't be by accident, because obviously you're being opposed in many, many ways, shapes and form by people who just basically either don't want to hear it or whatever other reason. So if the stated cause of it is not the reality, then what would the real cause of it, in fact, be?
Well,
I hear that it affects the pineal gland.
Yeah. I think you've got to distinguish between why a practice continues from why it ever started. I think that Chris Bryson does a brilliant job in the fluoride deception, explaining the economic interest, the industrial interest, and maybe the Manhattan Project, the nuclear program, that were very interested in changing the image of fluoride from one of the world's nastiest air pollutants to a pollutant that had done more damage to agriculture than any other pollutant, to change the image of that to this benign substance which was safe enough to put in the drinking water and to put on toothpaste and so on. So I think Chris Bryson does a brilliant job about why this started. But rather than to go into conspiracies, just think of something as American as apple pie, namely money, money, money. Think of who is benefiting financially from fluoridation.
And we're running out of time here. I think it was like it's classified as like a hazardous industrial toxin. But if you sell it, then it becomes a product. So then you can dump it.
Certainly the phosphate fertilizer industry benefits from this, but it's not enough to wag the dog here. But if you look at another, a very big interest, the sugar industry, One year before the U.S. government endorsed fluoridation in 1950, the sugar industry lobby, 133 sugar interests, said we need to find a way to reduce tooth decay without reducing sugar consumption. And now run the clock forward, and what have we got? We've got still kids in low-income families with massive amount of tooth decay, with even though they've been living in fluoridated communities for years, so it's not working. We not only have not cured tooth decay in low-income families, but we've also got now massive amounts of obesity with all the complications, heart disease and diabetes and so on. So the double whammy.
Yeah. If they're doing it for our health, they're certainly failing. If they're doing it to, make us a little bit sicker, hey, it seems to be working like a charm. Thanks so much, Paul, for coming on the show with us today. Fire out your website, and if you've got any final statements you want to give to my audience, now's your chance.
Yeah. Okay, it's fluoridealert.org. You see a 28-minute videotape there called Professional Perspectives, well worth watching. Lastly, this is the easiest environmental health issue to end. All we need is to turn off the tap at the waterworks. To turn off that tap, we need people informed and we need people organized. And Vinny, you're part of both. Informing people, organizing people. We can end fluoridation. Maybe New Zealand is the country.
Maybe we are. We'll be right back, folks. Show hour number two, and whew, I feel thirsty. How about I just chug back some of that fabulous fluoride, you know, right out of the tap? And I think it's great, you know, how we've got poison on tap in this country, you know, because if there's one thing that's just not enough in the world, it's poison, especially industrial phosphate industry waste, which incidentally. According to a nuclear scientist, Lorraine Murray, who we've had on the show, the fluoride is, in fact, radioactive to a certain extent. And now, according to tests, apparently, there's now radiation in the water supplies. Mm-hmm. That's right. And don't take my word for it either. All right, this was on Jesse Ventura's TV show Conspiracy Theory as well. And not only that, but on top of the so-called forced medication of fluoride, I believe in the United States they're even adding something like Valium to the water. It's insane. Now, drinking water is absolutely so important, so precious, and then they dope it up with pharmaceuticals. Kind of explains the current political situation in the United States a little bit, doesn't it? If the United States was a Shakespearean play, it would be apathy. You know, it's quite sad in a lot of ways, but as Paul Connett said, there is a chance to get this out of our water supplies. Okay? It's not as hard as it may appear. And as long as we actually do something about it, this is what I really kind of try to stress to people, is that it's all very well to become informed with the subject, but if you do not spread that information, if you do not push that information into the faces of your government officials and other assorted trash, you will keep being poisoned. Untold amounts of other people, children, women, husbands and wives, the elderly, will be poisoned. All right? And I take personal responsibility for the poisoning of the people in my country because I know that they're being poisoned and I will not stop trying to inform them, even if they don't want to hear it. Okay? That's my pledge. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulous fluoridated capital, Auckland, New Zealand. And we'll be right back after the break. Please don't desert me. It's a fabulous day here. It's pissing down with rain in Auckland, New Zealand today, and we haven't had decent rain like this in quite some time. It's as if the land itself is breathing a huge sigh of relief. And speaking of great sighs of relief, one man who incredibly hasn't gone insane yet by producing this show is Mr. Mitch Santel, who often puts my mind at ease by telling me that we're all going to die from Japanese nuclear radiation. Mitch Santel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mr. News. That's why your show is The Lighter Side of Genocide. It's not only, Vinny, an amazing week in New Zealand. It's actually the first week in New Zealand since I've been here for almost 4 years where there's actually no disinformation, Vinny. There's just no information.
Yeah. I mean, if you want an uninformed public, don't give them any information. And then, of course, you will be able to do whatever you want because they won't have any clue about it whatsoever. But, you know, that's if we're talking about conspiratorial. And as we both know, Mitch, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. No, no, no. The wealthy and the powerful and the manipulators of this world would never come together and form a small clique so that they could manipulate the entire world for their own selfish ends so that they could maintain their power and dominance forever. They'd never do that. That's just crazy.
Now, Vinny, tell me what you really think. So I do have a couple of stories to share with our audience today. And I just, on behalf of everyone on this show, and also at American Freedom Radio, and also at all of our amazing affiliates on this network, I just want to thank you so much for all the positive response, all the emails, and it really motivates me and Vinny on a daily basis to keep going because it just seems like everything is kind of speeding up right now. Right now in New Zealand, this week, probably one of the most draconian laws has been passed dealing with peer-to-peer networks. Vinny, you're aware of this, right, what the Parliament did this week?
Oh, yeah. That's the wonderful thing about New Zealand Parliament, how we've only got one house. So if you've got draconian legislation that you want to pass in a day under urgency, misused, there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because this particular bill was basically passed under urgency. And ladies and gentlemen, what this particular bill is, I like to think of it as the Patriot Act on steroids, because what this bill does is if a copyright holder under any circumstance doesn't like something that you've put up, and who knows, this may end up being something where it's even on YouTube, Vinny. I don't know yet. I don't know the full extent of the law. But basically, the ISP now has been given permission by the New Zealand Parliament and and as you would say, our smiling, sinister John Key, they can shut off your internet for up to 6 months.
And up to those, 6 months?
6 months, Vinny. Just holy. You go online. Yeah, 6 months, man. 6 months. How many in this audience have gone online to your YouTube channel and you've been posting videos or networking with other truthers or getting the truth out or helping people to wake up or change their diet or, you know, not kill themselves any faster than they need to? And all of a sudden, there's some claim that's against you, right? And they tell you if you have another claim, your channel's going to be pulled. This gives the government full right in New Zealand to just turn anyone off the internet that they want. And I can openly tell this audience that right now we have some interesting plans in place. I'm going to strongly recommend, we've had Stan Dale on this show, and his wife's book, Holly, Dare to Prepare, an amazing book. You all need to know, if you get that book, get it. This is not a paid endorsement, by the way. Dare to Prepare is an amazing manual. Everyone listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, whether you're in America or Norway or off the internet or in New Zealand in the South Island, you need to seriously consider over the next month or two getting a ham radio, getting a battery-powered ham radio, and really learning how to communicate with your friends and neighbors. It's really about community. So this law that was passed, I got to tell you, it was like, it's so much worse than I thought it was going to be, Vinny. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's always worse than you thought it would be, because the more you research into something, the worse it gets. And this is actually kind of like a catch-all definition, don't you think, Mitch, is that almost everything's completely effed, to put it bluntly, and it's only upon closer investigation that you see just how effed it is. And if you look even further, it's kind of like a hologram, you know? A hologram appears the same at a distance as it does up close. It's the same image that keeps almost looping itself. And that's basically what we have now, is we have a looped image of corruption in this country. And it is a dang good manipulator.
It's pretty interesting because it's... the corruption is so bad, it's not even being reported on. There's another story I want to talk about, Vinny.
Well, you know, and that's a chicken and egg thing, don't you think, Mitch? Is that the corruption's so bad because it's not being reported on, and because it's not being reported on, the corruption's so bad?
Oh, well, it's sort of like, it's a weird thing. It's like, I noticed an interesting shift. Like, a lot of people in New Zealand don't realize that in America, probably one of the largest sponsors of commercial radio across the United States is a little company called the U.S. government, and they spend quite a bit of money planning news stories. So as an independent media syndicator, I've been doing this for 16 years, Vinny. It was like for a long time I was like, wow, there's all this disinformation and all this stuff, and I know this isn't true, but now the issue is they're not reporting it. And I'd like to share a couple of examples, if I may. We have listeners that are in the South Island, and about 72 hours ago, starting at about 10:08 a.m. in the morning, over a 2.5-minute period, there was 11 earthquakes between 7.1 and 8.1, and they were never reported by anyone on any major radio network or TV. These were seismic sites in Japanese out of Japan that one of our listeners in the South Island found and emailed to me. And I was like, oh my, genocide. So it's, yeah, so that was the first thing. Then the second thing I got was there is a guy on YouTube who's given us permission to repost some of his videos and all these different things. And he is actually reporting on the real radiation levels that are in the United States, not what's being reported on Fox or CNN. Oh, nothing to worry about. Don't worry about. It's not that it's radiation. It's not that you're getting exposure to radiation. At the end of the day, it's the accumulative effects of the radiation. It's the radiation going around the globe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. It's the Gulf Stream. It's the way the jets are flying. So the people that are in Canada right now, it is really amazing. They're getting a lot of radiation too, Vinny. It's really, really interesting. It's one of those things where your mouth just drops, you know, on your desk and you don't know what to say.
You know what, Mitch? I think, you know, in fact, you know, speak of the devil. I just don't know what to say. it's like, if you can't fathom how bad a situation is and you can't comprehend it, if it's that bad that it affects everything in such a terrible way, as this Japanese radiation crisis has and will continue to do so, or just for the next couple hundred thousand years at least, you know, there's no biggie. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, I had a conversation. You remember when we were in that Masonic lodge the other day? And
that was amazing, man.
Yeah. Second largest Masonic lodge in New Zealand. It's incidentally no longer used as a Freemason temple. But however, I've inquired about this, about as to who bought the property. And previously, when the property was bought off Freemasons New Zealand, it was bought by a Freemason. And the new owners don't know yet, but I'd probably suspect that they are also Freemasons. They'd like to keep it all in the family, don't they? And what I was referring to here was I was talking to a guy and his friends there. You know, we were standing on that Masonic, what's it called, black and white flooring type thing with the pentagram in the middle and the 1,000 points of light and all of this other kind of jazz, you know. And I was just talking to him about this Japanese radiation crisis. And he didn't know very much at all about it. And I just kept going for about maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. One of them stayed and one of them left about halfway through me talking. You know, it's just like, it's too much. And I can understand that, although I don't condone it. And indeed another person as well that I was starting to, trying to talk to, about this left the room and specifically said, I don't want to listen because I don't want to get depressed. And it's like, okay, I'm going to ignore facts because it makes me feel something, you know? And that's basically what we really have is a big, big problem here, is that people are willfully ignorant because they think that their emotions are more important than reality, you know? And it's just silly. But the point was that it is a scary, scary prospect. And I may not sound scared, I may not sound upset, I may not sound like I'm freaking out, but believe me when I tell you, I really am. You know, this is the biggest concern of mine in my lifetime, and in my opinion, it is the worst disaster in human history, apart from the Great Flood, of course.
Well, you know. It's interesting that you say that, Vinny, because that has become a key issue as well. There is a whole plethora of people, a whole group of people that have really shut down. They don't want to hear anything about anything. They don't want to hear anything negative. Or as President George W. Bush said before America went into Iraq, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Just go shopping. So,
reminds me of that George W. Bush speech, you know, go out and enjoy America's holiday destinations. Go to Disney World. You know, it's like, hold on a second. Is distraction our national pastime? you know, is being a slave and a sucker our new motivational speaker, you know? Is being apathetic the new Tony Robbins of the 21st century, you know? And I pray that it's not, and I'm not a praying guy. But unfortunately, I see so much evidence of this, Mitch, that apathy, anger, and depression is growing like a cancer on this world, you know, on the minds of people, as if it's some Arcturian brain leech out of frickin' Star Trek or something. You know what I'm saying? As if we're attached by some kind of intellectual parasitical organism called the New World Order that wants to keep us all afraid. And I heard this, I forget who said it, but it's like when the New World Order realizes that they're under threat, and Zbigniew Brzezinski gave a speech to the Council on Foreign Relations, I believe it was either last year or the year before, saying that there is a global awakening happening and they really need to move fast in order to secure all their stuff. It means that they're basically backed into a corner, and this is a big dangerous beast with all the suppressed energy, weapon technology, and all of this kind of stuff. You know, they could just destroy the world if they wanted to, just like that, you know. And that's an incredibly dangerous animal to corner. You know, we've got the tiger by the tail here as part of the truth movement. Alternative media is rising like so many spent fuel rods.
No, I tend to agree. I think part of it too is that the empathy and the apathy that you're talking about, that is a very big thing. And I think the reason that it happens is that there is so much pressure on families to remain solvent, you know. That is a very big piece of it. And at the end of the day, when I look at it, the level of the assault is pretty bad right now, because while everyone is you know, in the alternative press is focused on what's really going on in Fukushima, I mean, the real sin that's being committed is not only the lack of information that's being disseminated to anybody of what they need to be doing, but it's also the fact that they're just not doing enough. They're just letting it happen. And it's a really sad thing. And it's an assault on multiple levels. There are viruses in America. I've received emails from our listeners that are in the 30 to 40% range. When you're saying, Mitch, what does that mean? 30 to 40% of the people that get this particular virus are basically dying, and it's not being reported on either. It's also not being reported that all of the backlash from the BP oil spill, that there are people that are north of that area in the Midwest that are getting pretty sick right now, and they haven't even had hurricane season yet. So as soon as that hurricane season hits and that corrects, it gets put into the atmosphere, man, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, it just, I guess we better put our head in the sand at that point. So it's a multi-front attack. It's a multi-front attack, and it's nothing to be depressed about. It's just something to be in action about. You know, my attitude is action.
It's something to be angry about and take action on. I absolutely agree with you, Mitch. You know, depression is basically anger minus the motivation. You know, angry people get stuff done, man. Honestly, depressed people don't get anything done. That's why if you are depressed about something, find out how you can make a difference, okay? And believe me when I tell you, you can make a difference. Any single individual listening to the show right now is potentially a big thorn in the side to the New World Order agenda in every way, shape, or form, okay? Whatever your skill set is, whatever your skill base, it matters not your contacts or anything, because you gain them as you keep working, as you keep doing things. You become far more powerful. You start networking and meeting with other people. When I started out a couple of years ago, staving off depression was as easy as going to a protest with a camera and filming everybody saying, "F you, I won't do what you tell me," you know? And that was my motivation, is to capture and amplify those dissenting voices. And now the idea really is to basically just step it up a notch, all right? That's what it's all about. ratcheting it up. The New World Order agenda is so successful because it keeps growing and growing and growing itself like an exponential capitalist beast of some description. And so can we. And in fact, we're growing at a much, much faster rate. They've had hundreds of years to implement all their policy, and we've done a heck of a lot more in 5 than they have in 100. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping it bangster. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. And for those of you who have been joining us in the chat room and commenting, I want to mention you guys specifically, as well as Jen, Devilson, Mikey, and Ahmed, of course. My man Ahmed from Tunisia is the man. And it's good to have a Muslim fundamentalist that listens to a truther show. You know what I'm saying? And also welcome back to my somewhat fabulous executive producer, Mr. Mitch Santel. And he's going to tell us now, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit about something we're all either heard of, believe in, or think is a psyop. It's the year 2012. Mitch, take it away.
Thank you. 2012. Not just a game show, Vinny, but your own death camp. No, just kidding. 2012, ladies and gentlemen, from what all of my resources are sharing with me and some of the things that are going on, is really a non-event. 2012 is identical to Y2K. Y2K, remember back to Y2K? Oh, my God, you know, we're going to go into the year 2000 and your ATM's not going to work and you can't get money out of the bank and your electricity's going to go off and your Windows machine is going to crash. Nothing happened, okay?
Yeah, they should have called it YTF instead.
Yeah, exactly.
as in why the F were we so concerned about it?
Well, look at all the industry that it incorporated. You know, they have a saying in Hollywood, Vinny, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not going to get you, okay? So 2012 is this. 2012 is not about Nibiru, aliens, Planet X, none of that. What they want to do by 2012 is they want to flip on a global police state. That's the reason that this bill was passed regarding the internet, where they can turn off your internet for 6 months. This is the reason why the New Zealand Parliament is currently pushing for this bill called the Surveillance Act, okay? So while all the people that are in the New Age movement are talking about new consciousness and everything, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is that if you watch the laws that are being passed and the things that they're doing without asking anyone's permission, laws under urgency. Think about Fukushima, man. The prime minister at one point had no one to talk to and wasn't getting help from anybody. Most of the major nations were giving really good lip service. But isn't it great to know that GE is going to be rebuilding that site again exactly in the same point? So 2012, ladies and gentlemen, is about putting a grid in place where there's no privacy, no freedom. They know exactly where you are, what you're doing at all moments. So it's sort of like this is beyond 2012. 2011 is really more about being ready, getting ready. And for some people, Vinny, they've kind of gone silent. 25% of the truth movement that was online, on the radio, on television, on the internet, this year in 2011, they're gone. They're offline. So ladies and gentlemen, be very be grateful that you have people like Vinny and American Freedom Radio and Freedom Files and Christy and all these people that are still on air, because I don't know.
It just makes me so angry, Mitch, you know, and it makes me want to just yell and scream and just go, no, 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 no. That's legislation that's leading to a police state. F off. Okay? I don't care what any of these parliamentarians think that they're doing for the good of the country by being able to cut people's internet off for 6 effing months for downloading a bit of music, you know? And statistically speaking, the more music you download, the more money you wind up spending going to music concerts for the bands that you downloaded their music for free, which means the band actually makes more money than they would if you bought their album, okay? It is just a big, flippant, effing lie. And these scum, these frickin' filth deserve to be hung. And that's what I'm going to do on May the 1st. I'm going to go down to Parliament. I don't know who's going to give me a ride yet, but for goodness sake, I'm going to find me a rope. I'm going to make a noose. And if I see John Key, and if the crowd is willing, we're going to hang him. Or at the very least, some description of effigy, which I'm probably sure would probably be a good idea. But the problematic difficulty with this, Mitch, is that if I were to get enraged, as is absolutely frickin' necessary in order to get things done in this type of toxic environment with nihilists and assorted Merrill Lynch banker scum like our prime sinister John effing Key, all right? If I were to get angry, people would say, oh, you're being a bit crazy, Vinny, you know? Well, excuse me. I think I actually have justification when the sovereignty, the industry, and the freedoms of my country and countrymen, and as well as all the nations of this earth, are being bulldozed, squashed, and squelched between the teeth, of a very, very vicious vampirical system. Okay, I think I'm entitled to be angry. I think I'm entitled to throw a rocket at a politician's head who's destroying my country, you know? And I would be completely and utterly justified. The difficulty being, of course, that I wouldn't perform it in the real fabulous way of nice social norms. And I would offend all the very conservative people that really believe in the system and watch all their state assets get sold off and watch all their liberties get completely undermined by progressive legislation that gets rammed through under urgency with absolutely zero public consultation. You know? And hopefully, when you listen to my voice, you're getting angry, you're getting motivated, you might go out there, you might do something naughty, all right? I certainly hope you do. Maybe there'd be a great, fabulous, motivated soiree of people out there who have absolutely no concern for the consequences of their actions, to the point where they would actually go and overthrow their government. They would actually go and harass their congresspeople, harass their senators, harass their MPs, and just tell them, look, no, okay? Don't do this any longer or we're going to effing hang you, okay? When you least expect it. When you're going home in the night, when you're going home to your fabulous wife and children, to your nice home that you've got as part of your deal by selling out the rest of us, we're going to find you and we're going to string you up, okay? That is what should happen in a moral and just society. Those who destroy our lives deserve to not have one of their own, all right? Now, I don't approve of violence. I don't approve of killing people. But, you know, this is just how I feel. Okay, and me saying it, I'm not inciting people to violence. Saying it is still peaceful protest, okay? All I'm doing is saying no. All I'm doing is saying that there have to be consequences to evil actions by the people who destroy our lives, okay? It's not unreasonable. You know?
Vinny, tell me what you really think, Vinny. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, man. No, I understand. No, see, the interesting thing is that it's happening in New Zealand. I got to tell you, I'm still shocked at the level of it, Vinny. It's you realize that the people in your parliament are really not the people that are in charge right now. And if you recall the story about these three guys that took a satellite Remember this story? There is a satellite that they ripped the canvas off of. And this satellite is basically transmitting every email, every phone call, everything done in New Zealand is already being monitored. And why do you think that even these laws that get passed? Because here's the other little dirty secret, ladies and gentlemen. Every member of parliament in New Zealand, you know, they probably have this sort of secret service kind of person that watches out for them. And you think, oh, they're protecting them. But there's something even more sinister behind the red velvet curtain. Behind the red velvet curtain, there's a whole team that are making sure that this parliament is passing the laws they want them to pass. So I want to know who's really in control. When I see a member of the UN here, I get really nervous, I got to tell you. And I'll tell you, there is a whole movement in New Zealand. I'm actually, you know, my wife, God bless her, of 25 years, she tells me all the time I'm delusional. She tells me I'm fighting monsters. I'm trying to save the world. I actually think of most of the countries in the world that New Zealand has a very good chance of playing a huge role in waking people up. I really do. That's why I'm on your team, Vinny, and I'm helping you. Because I do think that New Zealand can help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just incidentally, you exited the States, what was it, 4 years ago, was it?
Because you saw the way
it was going. And then you came here, and you realized that a similar agenda is in play here.
Yeah, and not only did I notice that the same agenda was here, it was even worse. You know, because the reality is there's no constitution or bill of rights in New Zealand if you think about it. I mean, if you really think about it, New Zealand and Australia are a colony of England. Really? Aren't they?
Yep. Yep, we're just one little slave colony, just like all the rest of them, and we've got a private central bank, just like most of the rest of the nations of the world, apart from the ones that are considered rogue states, like Iran, North Korea, and Libya, incidentally. But of course, Libya now, the rebels, of course, CIA-backed rebels and Al-Qaeda-backed rebels, who are incidentally created by the CIA anyway, have set up their own private central bank. And their own private oil company. Because Gaddafi, God bless him, who says that 9/11's an inside job and that all the Saudi Arabian hijackers were trained by U.S. intelligence services on U.S. soil and that it was a big intelligence psyop, you know, he was actually setting up an oil company where all the people of Libya would get the profits from Libya's oil. What a revolutionary thing. The people profit from the people's resources? How strange. We've got to bomb that person. He's evil. He's a bad person. Let's put him all over the media and edit out videos to make him look a little bit crazy and not actually tell the public about all this other stuff that he's saying, which completely undermines the entire system. You know, and that's basically what all this foreign intervention is. You know what really effed me off yesterday, Mitch? I was watching the news and I saw a high school, okay, celebrating the fact that one of their old boys from their high school died in Afghanistan, and they unveiled a plaque saying he died in support of freedom. Freedom of what? Heroin drug running? You know? And I don't want to insult the New Zealand Defence Force here. I'm actually angry that any of our people have even been put in harm's way to support the heroin smuggling operations of the CIA, okay? And that's exactly what they're doing in Afghanistan. Either that, or plus, running an enormous frickin' pipeline from the Caspian Sea so they can get oil and natural gas to the big three oil companies like BP and Shell and Mobil, you know? They're just basically effing us all over, and they're telling us that we're doing it for freedom and democracy. okay? And the principal of this high school was so proud that one of their students died in defense of freedom that they decided that it was a great influence on the rest of the students at that school, because it then connects them with Anzac Day, right? Where we remember a couple of 100,000 New Zealand soldiers being used as cannon fodder to protect the British Empire's effing interests and not being told about it. Okay? When I see my people get killed and lied to, I think I'm entitled to be angry. Okay? And I don't think that our Prime Minister, John Key, realizes just how dangerous we all are. Okay? They're gonna push that tipping point at some point, and they're not going to survive it, I don't think. You know? Because they're just cowardly, filthy, disgusting scum. And they don't deserve the life that they live. Right? If anything, they deserve prison. A very dark, scary, and overcrowded prison. Which, incidentally, they're helping to create by privatizing them and putting bunk beds in all of them. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, The Lighter Side of Genocide. My very special guest is my fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. And we are having an awful lot of fun at the New World Order's expense. Because nobody's got a bigger expense account than the New World Order. We'll be right back.
What is about? There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Rain or shine, it's all a little bit of history repeating.
Newspapers shout, a new style is growing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there if you dare. And incidentally, we have some positive news and some interesting stuff to talk about as well. Now, this show, how long have we been running this show for, Mitch? We're coming into like the ninth month, 10th month, is it? And
June 21st will be the one-year anniversary of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with guilt.
Yeah, that's right. And I think for our 1 year anniversary, we should plan a very, very special episode and have a whole wide range of clips that we can play of our 1 year of fabulous fight against the New World Order. You know, that would be quite nice.
Vinnie,
you know, the highlights of the year.
We're almost at the 10th month. And for those of you who have aspirations in syndicated radio or anything in broadcast, it's really the first year that's the toughest. And if you can make it the first year, you can make it anywhere. Of course, unless they pass some freaking surveillance act where they can turn off your internet and just flip the electricity off. But other than that, yes, we're in the 10th month, Vinny. It'll be the 10th month on April 21st.
Mm-mm-mm. And that's only in four or five days or so. Well, the thing is, I'm really talking about expansion, and I want to actually divulge with the listeners here my agenda. And I've had a secret agenda this entire time, and I just haven't been telling you about it as openly as perhaps I should have. It's to facilitate a global media empire takeover. Okay. You need a revolution in the media before you can facilitate a revolution in the mind, okay? And that's what I really want to help facilitate, is to bring on all these different people, you know, like Dr. Paul Connett, who we had on today, absolutely amazing. Of course, if you look at the archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, it is a veritable repartee of incredible content. And just randomly last night, we were talking with Calvin Elt, Mitch, from our RNZ party, And I started listening to the interview. And, mate, it was so awesome. And you experienced that yourself too, you know. You just go back and listen to just random episodes of the Vinnie Eastwood show and they're like, wow, it's awesome, you know. And that's the thing I like about doing this show is that we have a lot of fun. And it means that it becomes fun to listen to. Now, just because we're all going to die and the New World Order is going to, you know, enslave us all in a terrible police state doesn't mean you can't have a good time.
Yeah, and I actually think I think in some ways that we've already won on a lot of levels because we're waking up and we're saying something. Now I want to stick my two cents in here. I would like to invite anyone globally listening to this show. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, and Vinnie won't ask, but I will. You can subscribe to the Vinnie Eastwood Show for only $5 a week. And if you do that, since Vinny does not have a day job, he does this tirelessly, 20 hours a day, people. For that $5 a week, there's a number of things that you get. Vinny, would you tell them what they get? Okay, I guess Vinny isn't going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you. If you subscribe to the show, and it's $5 a week, we are going to start providing on a weekly basis, a lot of the stories that are not getting reported anywhere, because especially if you live in the United States, you are not hearing, just so you know, you're not hearing a lot of the stories that are going on in the Southern Hemisphere. So anybody that would consider subscribing to the show, it really helps keep the show on the air. Because Vinny works tirelessly on the show as well. In addition to that, you'll be pleased to know that I had the good fortune of having my iMac blow up about 3 days ago. So we're also inviting anyone who wants to make a donation or contribute technology or computers. All you have to do is email me, producer@thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And again, don't mean this to be a hard sales pitch, but any support is very, very grateful, very well supported, and we're going to keep going because this year, more than any other year, and Vinny knows I'm fully committed, this is really about digging in this year. If we don't dig in this year and really get this truth out and really wake people up, we're going to be in for some deep poop, and there's a whole other group that's saying you can't wake anyone else up. I don't believe that.
Those doom and gloomers, it's basically they're the kind of people who ask others to provide solutions for them. And in my opinion, if you have to ask what a solution is, you're probably not going to be a part of it. You know, it's all about individual responsibility, you know. And if you're not doing an effective job at exposing the New World Order, then you can certainly support those who are. You know, it's about all of us working together. That's why I have so many Kiwi activists on this show. That's why I have all the international things, because we're living in one world, okay, and that entire planet is under threat at the moment. So there is no borders in terms of patriotism. We all believe in national sovereignty, and we all believe in minding our own business. And we all know at this very point in time that unless we unite, unless we fight, unless we pull together and expose the New World Order in every single facet of the human imagination, they cannot resist us. Okay? Nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. And my idea, it's just the same as everyone else's. I just don't want to be a slave. And I want to free my people, free my country, and get something better for the next generation. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. You've heard today my fabulous guest, Paul Connett, and my somewhat fabulous producer, Mr. Mitch Santel. If you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, if you'd like to subscribe to support our broadcast here, that would be absolutely fabulous, and we'll even send you out some free DVDs. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.